Today's scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, it is good to be home. For the past few weeks, I've been at annual conferences from North Alabama to South Georgia to Kentucky. I was so far north in Kentucky that I could see Ohio. I mean, I was on the Ohio River looking across at the Bengal Stadium and Great America Ballpark where the Reds play. It's been good to see how God is moving throughout our connection, how churches are ministering to the people who are near them, how they're making disciples and transforming the world. I got to hear stories of new people coming to meet Jesus for the very first time at Messy Church of all things, about new churches being planted around dinner tables and in restaurants, and churches thriving through creativity and new approaches to ministry. I heard about churches being revitalized and transformed and reaching new people in new places. It's truly amazing to hear how God is at work throughout our connection. We are just one outpost for the kingdom and for the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in Statesboro, but God is moving in so many places near and far. One of the things about each of these annual conferences is that they were held inside of conference rooms. Now, you've all been into a conference room, right? Think Georgia Southern Ballroom times three, right? Big, huge spaces. And in those spaces, people have chairs set up in sections. So there's sections throughout these spaces. And in between each section is a wireless microphone on a stand. Now, if you've ever been to a conference, whether it happens to be for the church or elsewhere, you know there's great danger in those microphones, right? Because when there's a mic, there are also people who think, it's my turn to talk, right? And occasionally the people that come to the mic, they've got something helpful to say, something that will move the conversation forward. They have a question that needs to be answered for the rest of the body. But occasionally, someone will get up because they've got something to say. And they think we all need to hear it. Well, not every message is as valuable or as strong as every other. But when I think about my mind, I think about it being much like those conference rooms, that there are a number of wireless mics set up inside of my brain, and to each of those mics come different voices. Sometimes the voices that I hear in my mind are caring and kind. Sometimes they're voices of truth. Sometimes they're voices that come from my anxiety. Inside of my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my ideas, my emotions, they each get a chance to come to the mic and speak. When truth comes to the mic, it's helpful. When conviction comes to the mic, it reminds me of what matters most. But sometimes anxiety grabs the mic and starts to filibuster. Sometimes fear takes the mic and won't refuse to relent. Sometimes anger or frustration shout loudly in the halls of my mind. And the voices of old hurts and pains and disappointments even show up to chime in. And sometimes those messages, positive and negative, get put on repeat in my mind. I don't know if your mind's like mine, but I have these soundtracks that play, these messages that I say to myself and about myself, and those messages, those soundtracks, they impact the way I think, the way I feel, and often the way I act. John Acuff, in his book, Soundtracks, A Surprising Solution to Overthinking, uses the term soundtracks as a metaphor for those repetitive thoughts and internal dialogues that get put on repeat in our mind. And he argues that these mental soundtracks, again, they significantly influence our actions, our decisions, and our overall mindset. In short, what you tell yourself and the message you believe about yourself impact your posture and impact how you live your life. So what if we began to dive into what the Bible says about you and me? For instance, what would our lives look like if we grounded ourselves in the soundtrack of Romans 8:37, that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? How might you face hardship or struggle or pain in your life if you believe not only in your mind, but in the very core of your being, that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? What if we as God's people began to truly cling to John 10:10, the truth that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ has come that we might have life and life to the fullest? If that's your posture, if that's your conviction, if that's the message that's playing over and over again, you probably have a different outlook on life than the average person walking down the street. You probably find joy a little bit easier than most. You probably withstand hardship with a little more grit than others might. What about this? What if instead of hearing the voices on repeat that tell us that we are not enough, what if we centered our thoughts on Colossians 3:12, which says, we are God's holy people. God's holy people. Some of y'all this morning are like, I'm not a holy person. The Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are God's holy people. You are God's holy person. Not only that, that you are chosen and beloved. Wait, I messed that up. You are chosen and dearly loved. This is what God has to say about you. This is what God has to say about your life as a disciple. And it's important that we ground ourselves in the Word of God and the truth of God so that when we face internal and external turmoil and strife, that we can lean back into the truth that God speaks about us. Why? Because our thoughts impact our actions. What we think about impacts what we do. How you think impacts how you act. That's why Paul tells the church at Philippi in the closing verses of this letter to the church, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul says, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul advises us to think about that which is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent or praiseworthy. Why? Why would he give those instructions? Because Paul knows something about human nature. He knows something about you and me that sometimes we forget. Paul knows that it's easier for us to focus on what is false, what is wrong, what is broken, what is ugly, what is deplorable, what is scandalous and shameful, especially when our lives and our world become stressful. This is why the slightest thing, whenever you're really frustrated or anxious at work, that happens at home, can cause you to boil over. Because it's so easy for us to focus on the negative instead of the positive. Our minds always seem to drift that way. So we have to discipline ourselves toward positivity. We have to recognize the negative soundtracks and messages that play in our minds so that we can take hold of them, silence them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and have our hearts and minds renewed in Christ Jesus. So what is a negative soundtrack? A negative soundtrack are those destructive and limiting thoughts that generate self-doubt, fear, and hesitation. They lead to overthinking, paralysis, and an overall negative outlook on life. None of the fruits of the Spirit are in those negative soundtracks. Negative soundtracks don't contain love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. Instead, they contain harmful words to our thoughts, to our minds, to our lives, and even to our souls. But But here's the thing. You and I are capable of dwelling on positive soundtracks just as much as we are the negative ones. It just takes some conscious effort to divert our focus from the negative to the positive. So what does a positive soundtrack do? Well, positive soundtracks are constructive and empowering thoughts that motivate and encourage us to achieve our goals and handle challenges effectively. They reinforce confidence, optimism, proactive behavior, and they remind us of our identity in Christ, that which cannot change about you and me. If you're anything like me, there's some negative soundtracks that don't just need to be silenced in your life, but there's some that need to be completely erased and replaced. And changing our soundtracks begins with identifying them, taking every thought captive to make them obedient to Christ. So I don't just want to say that to you and walk away this morning. I want to give you a tool to help you evaluate your thought life, to evaluate your inner conversation with yourself, so that those thoughts can be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So here's three critical questions designed to help us evaluate our soundtracks to determine whether they're helpful or harmful. So the first question that we need to ask about the thoughts that we have about ourselves and about the world around us is it true? Is it true? This question aims to challenge the accuracy, and truthfulness of a thought. Y'all know we live in a world filled with disinformation and misinformation, that everybody has an idea or an opinion. We need to focus on that which is true. Often, in fact, our minds can create and cling to thoughts that aren't based in reality at all. And by asking ourselves, is this true? We're encouraged to examine the evidence behind our thoughts. This helps in identifying any distortions that we might be speaking over ourselves or unfounded beliefs. For example, if someone thinks I'm terrible at my job, they might need to consider the factual basis of that thought. Are there specific instances of feedback that support that idea? Or is that just a negative voice in your head without any real evidence? Scrutiny, friends, helps separate fact from fiction, reducing the influence of irrational fears that we might have and misconceptions that we might have about the world or even about ourselves. So the first question we have to ask about any soundtrack that's playing inside of our heart or our mind is it true? Here's the second question. Is it helpful? This question assesses the utility of a thought in achieving our goals and maintaining our mental well-being. Because the reality is, not all true thoughts are beneficial. Some may be true, but counterproductive, fostering within us anxiety and stress and demotivation. By asking, are the words that I'm saying about myself and about the world I live in helpful, we can determine whether or not a thought contributes positively to ourselves and our own well-being and to our posture toward the world. You know, I get to speak publicly for a living, but for a long time, I really worried about speaking. In fact, in my first couple public speaking classes at Georgia Southern, I often went up at the start of the presentation thinking, I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to mess this up. And you know what happens whenever that's the soundtrack playing in your mind and something goes sideways in the presentation? Maybe the PowerPoint doesn't work that you had provided. You know what happens? Immediately, you lose all hope, right? And you just sort of fall apart. I fell apart. I fell apart in the middle of a communications like 1101 class because of something that was beyond my control. But I walked into the situation believing that I'm going to mess this up. And that added unnecessary pressure. By recognizing that negative soundtrack and replacing it with something more positive, I can actually, by the power of God, transform the way I think about the setbacks I have in my life. So I began thinking, as I prepared my different presentations, not only that this was going to be the best presentation you've ever heard, but more that I can prepare thoroughly and I can do my very best. Because sometimes all you can do is your very best. And so when the PowerPoint doesn't work, or you forget to load your notes into ProPresenter, I'm sorry, Addie and Scott, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because I'm prepared thoroughly, and I'm going to do my best. So the question is the soundtrack helping you move the needle or holding you back when it comes to the thoughts that are playing in your mind? Does your soundtrack lead to a decision or limit a decision? Does it generate action or apathy? First two questions. Is it true? And is it helpful? And the last one is like it. But maybe the most important when it comes to our own internal thought process. Is it kind? Is what I'm thinking about myself kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? This question evaluates the tone and impact of a thought and how that impacts our self-esteem and our emotional health. Friends, your emotional health matters. And what you speak over yourself has an impact on your thought life, your spiritual life, and how you encounter the rest of the world. The truth is, most of us are harsher on ourselves than we would be others. And so we've got to begin asking ourselves, when it comes to our thoughts, are these thoughts kind? Do they encourage a gentler, more self-compassionate dialogue? Because kind thoughts nurture a positive self-image and resilience within us. In fact, friends, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So why not work on being kinder to ourselves in the way we speak to ourselves and about ourselves? I know I've had a habit for a long time when I make a mistake of thinking I'm so stupid. Friends, that thought is neither kind nor supportive. And it certainly doesn't define who I am. I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. What I've learned to say is, I made a mistake, but I can learn from this and improve. Really, I don't say that. I say, well, I won't do that again. Right? I had a senior pastor one time who said, we all make mistakes, but we're not going to make mistakes twice. When we fall, we'll fall forward. And that little bit of reframing was transformative for me. It took me out from beneath the tyranny of perfectionism because I had freedom to fail and freedom to learn. Friends, in your faith, you're going to fail. But that doesn't make you a failure. It makes you a sinner redeemed by God's grace. One mistake does not redefine your eternal destiny. One slip up doesn't cause you to slide out of the kingdom of God. Friends, we're more than conquerors. We are God's people, chosen, holy, and beloved. We are the body of Christ, and we are loved by God. Our soundtracks matter. Our internal dialogues and repetitive thoughts, they hold significant power over our lives. We can begin evaluating those thought patterns in our life to determine if our soundtracks are positive or negative. But I want to tell you the best way that you can replace the soundtracks that are playing internally inside of you is to ground yourself in the Word of God and the truth of God. To read the Bible. That's a shocking thing for a preacher to say, right? Read the Bible. And don't just read it so that you have it in your head. Read it so that you have it in your heart. So that the soundtrack of your day includes the holy words of God spoken over you and about you. About your status as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, as one who's been brought from death to life by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's embrace the wisdom of Philippians 4, 8, and 9, those words that Paul has to say. Let us focus on what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and put these things into practice, ensuring that the God of peace and the power of the Holy Spirit will be with us. By doing so, we can silence the unhelpful noise and amplify the voice of God, the only voice that truly matters, leading us to a more fulfilling, abundant, and impactful life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it's so easy for us to focus on the negative. It's so easy for us to center our thought life on how many times we've made mistakes, how broken we are. Yet, you don't call us broken. You call us beloved. You don't call us failures. You call us faithful. And you encourage us to come back to you once more. So Lord Jesus, this morning, I know there's some of us in this room who feel like we are so far from you. Help us to hear the invitation to take up our true identity in you, to let go of our sinfulness and our brokenness, to take hold of the life, the abundant life that you offer us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our minds to silence those negative soundtracks that hold us back and keep us down. We pray, God, that our eyes would truly be set on that which is true and noble and pure and praiseworthy and excellent, so that in all things we might look for where you are working and where your kingdom is expanding. We pray, God, this morning that as your disciples, our hearts, minds, and lives would be set on you as we seek to love and serve the world in your name. Amen.